John Roth is Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security, his office issuing 4 reports on administratively uncontrollable overtime at the Customs and Border Protection. And General Roth, thank you for joining me today. We've covered the issue of AUO on a number of occasions, but let's start with a thumbnail of what AUO is, how CBP is supposed to use it, and how it's gotten to the direction that it's gotten. Thank you for joining me, General Roth.
My pleasure. AUO is a sort of a creature of statute that Congress wrote a while back, and it's different than sort of normal overtime in the government. For example, if you worked for, say, the Social Security Administration and you needed to do more work than you could do in your allotted 8-hour shift, you'd ask your supervisor for overtime, and the supervisor would presumably have some discretion as to whether to grant you overtime or not. But it would be in advance, and it would be something that could be planned for. When you talk about CBP, you're talking about a lot of duties that can't be controlled administratively. For example, if you're a criminal investigator whose hours of duty are governed really not by an 8-hour shift, but what the criminals on the border are doing and when they do it. So if you were a Border Patrol agent working patrols on the southwest border, say, and you had a human trafficking organization, you wouldn't stop at 5 o'clock simply because that was the end of your shift. You'd have to continue on. Likewise with intelligence support activities. If you worked at a national targeting center, for example, you'd want to follow through on suspicious shipments that came through, regardless of whether or not that happened during your 8-hour shift. So what the law recognizes is that there are duties in which overtime can't be controlled administratively. And what they did was write a law that said if you have to remain on duty and the failure to do so would be tantamount to negligence, you're not required to have supervisor's approval. You can simply continue to work, and you will be paid a percentage in addition to your salary. And sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's 15%, sometimes it's 20%. That's different than straight overtime, where you simply have too much work to do. It's when you're in the middle of a project that you really can't control. So that's what AUO is, and it has been on the books for a long time, and it's largely used only by CBP, and some ICE agents use it as well.
What is your sense of the way that it's being used now and how it kind of got off of the idea that you just laid out that prompted the whistleblowers to go to the OSC?
Sure. I think over time what happened was there wasn't a very convenient way to do simple overtime. In other words, where there's simply too much work for you to do in the 8-hour shift, even though it could be controlled administratively, there simply wasn't a sort of mechanism by which to do it. So what we found when we did these audits was that there was really a very poor understanding in the field of when AUO was allowed and when it was not. And really there was very little written guidance from headquarters. Managers were really not trained or briefed on the appropriate use of AUO. Many thought when we interviewed them that it was simply a form of overtime, that, you know, it was overtime by any other name. We also saw that they didn't have any sort of internal control function to determine whether policies were being followed. So nobody sort of looked and made assessments as to whether or not the AUO was appropriate or not. And there wasn't adequate record keeping. So the forms that they used had only very small space for a description of the duties that you would do during that overtime period. And there was really no ability to justify why this was administratively uncontrolled as opposed to sort of normal overtime.
I note that the Office of the Office of Special Counsel referred these whistleblower disclosures to your office, and you then investigated them. Does that play any part in how you choose to pursue a case or what you choose to pursue when folks come to OSC as opposed to coming to you directly through your hotline?
No. And as you know, we do have a hotline. We get a number of complaints from various employees within DHS. You can go to our website at oig.dhs.gov, and there's a place where you can either call in or file something electronically. But we get hundreds and hundreds of complaints from whistleblowers every year through our hotline, but we also get them through OSC. And OSC basically will refer them to us and then require a report be written, which they would evaluate.
The notes that I have from your office say the El Paso Sector Station, National Targeting Center, and Border Patrol headquarters didn't have sufficient AUO documentation. What was missing from that documentation when you went to review it?
Sure. So there is a form that they would have to fill out, and you know, we show examples in our audits of the actual sort of form itself, and there's about a 2-inch line in which you have to justify what it is that you do. And there really wasn't sufficient room, and frankly, people weren't trained to actually put down what it was that justified the AUO as opposed to simple overtime. So we would see things like, you know, administrative paperwork or continue patrol on the line or some other activity, but again, no explanation as to why this was absolutely necessary to continue on your shift as opposed to simply leaving it for another day.
And so when we combine that idea with what you mentioned a moment ago, that there isn't a convenient way of documenting administratively controllable overtime, I guess we would call that ACO if such a thing existed, it sounds like a reasonable conclusion would be that these were more issues of convenience rather than malfeasance. It doesn't sound like anybody's trying to game the system by doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Certainly. We didn't find any evidence that people, for example, weren't working and claiming AUO, and we didn't really find any instances in which they willfully violated the AUO statute and regulations. Again, it was either a misunderstanding as to what AUO was about or simply a lack of having any other mechanism by which to approve overtime.
The other report has to deal with agents serving as CrossFit instructors. That sounds a little more egregious. What's the context that we should think about as we look at that particular case, General?
Sure. These fitness instructors were in, I think, 6 different offices on the southwest border. And if you understand sort of what the Border Patrol's duties are, it requires a certain level of physical fitness, I think comparable to the military, because they are their first line of defense and in the protection of our border, and it requires physical fitness. So as a result, CBP allows agents to take fitness classes, including a CrossFit class, for example, that are conducted by CBP employees or Border Patrol employees who are trained to do this. And what we found was that these individuals were required basically to teach 8 one-hour classes every day, which left no room to do any of the other things that they would have to do, such as maintain the equipment, clean the facilities, do their normal paperwork, etc. So they claimed AUO for it. But when we interviewed these folks, what we found was that they didn't have a full understanding of what the purpose behind AUO was, nor did their supervisors, nor were there any controls to sort of check on this to make sure that people were doing this in the right way.
A happier ending to this story than to most Inspector General reports that I've seen across government, General. And that is CBP's made some changes. Congress has made some changes in the structure of the AUO program. And it sounds from the notes that I see here that you like what you see.
Yes. Once this was brought to DHS management's attention, they really did sort of respond in a way that protected the public purse. First, they suspended sort of across the board any use of AUO for headquarters employees. And then they did a position-by-position audit to determine who qualifies for AUO. They put in an annual recertification process, so because these are position-by-position, and sometimes positions evolve or they change. So they put in an audit to determine that. They changed the reporting format, so when people do use AUO, there is a better and more fulsome justification for it. They put in some internal controls, so there's some reviews of when AUO is used and when it's not. And they also put in new training of that. And that was all in advance of, as you noted, the congressional action on this, which really solved the problem, which was the Border Patrol Pay Reform Act of 2014. And what that does, it is eliminates AUO for Border Patrol and establishes a new pay system for them.
I note that the DHS budget this fiscal year is upwards of $60 billion.
Correct.
$100 million in the context of that is not a huge amount of money. What should I take away from that equation about how you set priorities as to what you investigate? Because I'm sure there are plenty of things on your plate that are bigger dollar amounts than $100 million.
Right. Well, I think there's a couple things. One, there was a morale issue that resulted from this, and I think that's why the whistleblowers came to the Office of Special Counsel, is because of what looked like unfairness in the system and what looked like cheating the system. But two, when we receive a complaint from the Office of Special Counsel, by law, we don't have any discretion as to whether to investigate it or not. We are required by statute to investigate any referral that comes from the Office of Special Counsel. And then at three, I think it's important to, you know, comply with the law. And if you can't comply with the law, ask Congress to fix the law so you can do what you need to do. And certainly having the OSC expose this and have us doing our investigation, I think gave Congress some good fact-finding so that they could move forward and really replace what was an antiquated overtime system.
General, I thank you very much for explaining the findings here, and I thank you very much for your time as well.
My pleasure.